That's very illiterate. Also, people from Mountain. And I'm glad that even with that short akdama, he was able to have me. I hope that this conversation, this presentation, this evening will, Mirtzashem, be for great to all us, and with great utility and purpose, and it will be towards a Dvar Kedusha, and that is the topic we're talking about, is Kedusha. So thank you very much for all the people that organized and that are that organized it. And okay, let me just give you a little bit of a sense of who I am and where I am coming from. So my name is Yitzchak Schachter. I am a psychologist. I, Baruch Hashem, zocha to establish and run a clinic, a behavioral health clinic in Muncie, New York. For those of you who aren't familiar or have been in Eretz Yisrael and forgot Torah's Chutz La'aretz, it's a very large community. It's one of the largest communities outside of New York City. And it's a Hasidish, it's mostly Hasidish, but a lot of Litvish and others there. So we have a behavioral health clinic that serves the needs of that community. And Baruch Hashem, we've grown to be able to serve the needs of the community. We are actually now the largest behavioral health clinic in the county. And then also, aside from the clinic, we provide a variety of services to 25, 27 different schools, from the modern Orthodox to the Hasidic communities. And one of the things that was very clear is that there were a lot of challenges and a lot of things coming up. But one of the key issues was the issue of children understanding development and the behavior and responsibility that goes with it. And that was a topic that, Bekum Va'aseh, I wanted to be able to address. Not just to wait till there are problems that stem from it, but to actually address it. At the same time, I also established a research institute to understand what are the health, behavioral health, and social issues of the community, and to translate it back to the Rabbanim, to the Mechanchim, to the clinicians, to the various stakeholders in the community, in order that it be, again, the Tu'elas. Because obviously the needs of our community are very different than the broad, very broad population. So, and that's where this is coming from, and of an interest and a desire to really understand what's going on and to translate that back. Now, at the same time, there's been a lot, and I've been partially involved with it, there's been a lot of discussion about issues of speaking to children, child safety, things like that. But if we think about it, this seems a little bit backwards. If so much of the information that kids get about different topics are about be safe, about don't let bad things happen, which is very, very important, of course. But why are we just talking about the negative side of it? Let's talk about and give over to children the kelim to be able to do the asei tov, of the understand from the positive light what our approach to the transition, what the positive way just a protective perspective. So in doing this, obviously, this topic requires a tremendous amount of COVID drosh, a seriousness about what we're talking about. Because very easily, it could turn into a light or inappropriately focused conversation or an inappropriately focused, because we're dealing, like we know from the Mishnah Chagiga and other places, when we talk about these sensitive topics, we really have to be mindful of how we discuss it. So I very much hope that this evening's comments will be taken with that COVID rosh. And they're very, very important topics that hold, as we will see, not just critical points about this topic, about talking about development, maturity, and Kedushas HaGuf, I'll explain in one moment where that name comes from, but are very relevant to many other topics. Right. Now, when talking about such a topic, I didn't just want to do this, Aldas Atzmi. I just didn't want to go headstrong to be able to say, this is what we should be talking about. So I spent time thinking about it and also speaking to people, including Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, who is very, very, very supportive on the topic. And he actually came to when I first spoke about it to really strongly endorse and encourage this. He and his son Reb Shalom have gone through the slides and the conversations with it extensively, as well as many other rabbanim from many different streams. And I've, Baruch Hashem, been able to give this talk on several different places and across the spectrum. And what's incredible about it is that between 99% to 100% of respondents of the survey that I give out afterwards, and I'm sorry I didn't give it to you sooner, but I'll give it to you afterwards, say that it's consistent with the values of their community and the values of tznius and the values of their family. And given that I've done it literally from the entire from spectrum, that's reassuring to see that people share a lot of values. I'm not going to take questions during the talk, because again, I want to be able to go straight forward, and then I'll open it up afterwards. I gave out some of the flyers. I just want to make sure, can everybody hear in the back? Can everybody hear? So, I gave out some of these, and the goals for this evening is to understand what the reality of change is, and the quote-unquote script of how to speak with your children, and how to speak about this topic with children. And I use the term Kedushas HaGuf, because that's the term that Reb Shmuel recommended. And, right, as well as, he gave me free rein with it, but I use that consistently. We'll talk about questions and answers. So, children grow up. That's a pretty obvious statement. And children grow up in all sorts of different ways. And our job as parents, effective parenting, is to be able to guide children through the different changes and to adapt to that change, to be able to get them through the challenges that they go through. And not just the old ones, but the new ones that they constantly go through. And together with this, and this is very important, is not just to go through challenges and make it through, but that the challenges that they go through, and that we as parents should give over to our children a frame of the values that we want them to take into each of their challenges, and to have a framework of the values to understand. We want to basically give our children glasses, and those glasses are the glasses of values to go through any changes that they might come up. And together with parenting, we need to communicate. Communicate effectively around everything that goes on. And that which emerges from all of that is giving them skills for independent and autonomous, healthy decision-making. We don't stand on our children's shoulders their whole life. And at the very least, as Rabbi Malinowitz says, it's a good mechutin. So it's certainly the case that far, but also for parents. We don't sit on the shoulder of our children. We have to help them internalize our values and internalize our perspective so that they can identify what challenges are and the problem solving of anything that comes up the road. And that's what I'm taking as the Nikudas HaAnacha, the basic assumption. And right, and with that, we can approach change. Our children change in every aspect of who they are and how we know them and how they know themselves. They change not just physically. Physically is sometimes the least of it. Psychologically, cognitively, right, their intellectual ability changes over time. We're not teaching a first grader Gemara, Rashi Tosfos, because it doesn't make sense for their intellectual ability. Similarly, we don't teach some much more subtle and difficult concepts. They change, the interests of children change. Children change socially, right? If we think about a child, that they're much more, their basis, it's maybe a little bit different in Eretz Yisrael, is their home. And then as they get older and older, they move towards the chevra, their social group. And so these things change, and their spiritual connection, and their ability to feel how to make decisions changes as well. And as a child develops, their sense of themselves and how they view themselves changes as they have more physical ability, more intellectual ability. And it's within that growth comes the development of the physical feelings, of the sexual feelings, arousal and interest. And what also happens, because this is something that they know is private, it's in their head. It's only in their head. It's not something, hopefully, they're just sharing wantonly about. That's why it's so sensitive, and it's also a very powerful force. Now, right, and it's in the changes, all the various changes, that this happens. And if we think about adolescence, when this all starts to occur, it's a point of transition from a child to an adult, from dependence to independence, from parents to peers, from seeing the world in a new way, my own. I'm not just taking what my parents tell me, I'm thinking about it on my own. And as well, another piece comes in, impulsivity. And as we'll explain, there's good reason for that in the brain of the adolescent. Now also in this conversation, it's very important to know that boys and girls are very, very different. Boys and girls are different, and not surprisingly, because they're different in many, many ways. But appreciating the differences are important as well. What tends to happen with girls, that conversations about development and speaking to children about sexual maturity and sexuality is that it often focuses on the physical changes, the emotional connections, and their own image. But for boys, the conversations often focus on changes, sometimes physically, but often newfound interests that emerge and different restrictions that go with it. And I think it's important to take stock of that. We'll get to that in a minute. There are four sort of conversations, core conversations, First of all, the conversation about physical changes and maturity, conversations about Shmiras HaBris and issues of Shmiras HaBris, Tzazer al-Vatala, things that are related to particular issues, particularly for boys, that goes on the responsibility that goes with this maturity, and conversations about where do children come from, the whole concept of sexuality, and then a conversation about safety and abuse prevention. I'm not talking about that last point. I have what to say and speak about it, but that's not the point. The bigger point is these other things, and I want to touch on, hopefully, to give you, the parents, a framework to speak about it. And when we talk about it, I think there's seven core competencies. There's seven core skills, or yesodos, that have to go into this. They are the basics, kedusha and purpose, responsibility, self-experience, struggle, communication, and creating a box. It's written down, you don't have to remember all this. The basics. It's very important to give children that are going through the changes in their body a basic idea and frame that they're going through something, they're going through a change. And to explain that as you mature, your body develops, and so does everything else about you. You develop new kochos ha-nefesh, new capacity, and new parts of yourself. And this new domain, the same way a child grows up, a boy, let's say, grows up, they get stronger. They get stronger, they get more muscular, they grow, their voice changes. So those are physical things. But also, at the same time, they might notice things that they didn't notice before. They might be interested in something that seemed weird before, might seem more interesting to them. They might notice a girl or things like that within them. And it's important to understand that these new kochos are part of the plan. It's not like they contracted some new illness. It's that this is part of Michachmas Abore, this is part of their development. With girls, it's a lot easier. With girls, it's a lot easier because Minachreach, it's very important to have that conversation. And I will say, I've been involved, and I spoke to Mechanchim, that's of girls' schools, that always have certain situations. I had this, several clients. Nobody spoke to anybody. Nobody spoke to them. And then all of a sudden, during camp, summer camp, or just during the school year, they went to the nurse, they thought they were dying. They thought they were hemorrhaging, and that something was wrong with them. So again, it's very important to give the concept of what is going on, and that the body is changing. And what's very important also is that this is purposeful. This is why it's a little bit easier to talk to girls than it is to boys, and I'll explain. And that's, this is not stam something that happens. It is part of a greater plan. It's Michachmas Abore that we develop at different points in our life to develop the capacity to function in certain ways. For girls, the idea of their bodily development is about the ability to eventually have a child, to be a mother, and to fulfill that very, very critically important role, which becomes so important to their identity. So to see the changes as part of that framework is extremely important. For girls, it's easier because they identify more with that part of their identity of being a mother, both because they see it more directly from their mothers, and to some degree, it's more b'teva, that role in a woman's identity. For men, it it's a little bit more complicated. Because the for boys, because those changes are a little bit more distant and a little bit further and come with more, more complexity. So, but it's very important to be able to discuss the basic biological mechanism, to give a hasaga, to give a frame of reference to what is going on. And that is also true for the boys. That at a certain point, that you are developing. Now, there's a big advantage that boys are learning all sorts of different sugyas in Gemara. When I was learning with my son, for their bar mitzvah, we were learning Sanhedrin, Brachos, different Makos, different sugyas. And my wife is overhearing from the kitchen what I'm learning with my son. She came over to me, really? This is what you're taking my pure, innocent child, and this is what you're talking about? Really? So, I mean, obviously it was in jest, but it's very much true. If you go through all the different mesechtas that the kids are learning, in Mishnayos and in Gemara, there are opportunities to have a conversation that starts with a Gemara, with a Mishnah, and can take you further. So, for example, in Kfar and Brachos, it talks about Kishu Yever, about saying Kriya Shema, like Prokton, things like that. So then it's an opportunity to explain something in its natural context, and to explain what Kishu Yever means. That it's sometimes something that happens, and giving them words to things that might be, things that they may be experiencing. To talk about that there's the Yever that ends up getting a little bit harder, and therefore, because it rushes with blood, it fills with blood. And sometimes it's tied into, it might feel good. Something like that. But, the Gemara says, we don't do that. And one should be mindful of that. But you give a framework of a conversation. In many places, right, you have Tuma, and you have Tuma's carry, and you have all these different things. Rather being mystical, secret ideas, use it as the springboard to explain. Sometimes a Kishu Yever, and sometimes Zera comes out from that. Now, giving an explanation and some of the basic concept of biology is very important. Very often, kids have no idea what's going on. And giving that frame allows them to, one of the most important things, it gives them words, to put words to something that they know something's up. Inevitably, kids, you know, they quickly go through, a lot of boys know certain halakim of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. They discover things, they know, they pick up hints of something, or they learn it from places that you don't want them necessarily to learn it. So it's important for parents to be able to be that point of information. Now, but this takes us to the next point. That the basics lead us to purpose. That these developments are purposeful in life and are part of who we are and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's part even of our Ruchnias. We are both of Elyonim and Tachtonim. We are both lofty and mundane. We have physical and spiritual aspects that we need to pay attention to. So again, for girls it's a little bit easier because they more identify with this idea of purpose. But the idea of Kedusha is to be able to stay focused on that purpose. And that's the goal. Now, at the same time, how far, and we're going to talk about this in a few moments, but how much do you discuss with a child? We'll go through it. But in the idea of Kedusha, we have two different parts to ourselves. We have our physical and our spiritual aspects, and we have to own it. We have to own it. And part of the full range of emotions. This obviously this is not to discuss with children. It would be obviously inappropriate, but we see this throughout. Kol HaSfarim Kodesh and Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kedashim. Because there's an element, however one understands it, of that sort of idea. Or the idea of Gedid Nefesh, Avarachman, relationships in our life translate to an understanding and a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's an amazing statement of Rav Yitzchak de Menako, Talmud Chaver of the Ramban, and he says, Kol Mishalotam Avas Isha Miyamav Kechamor Ba'avodat Hashem. I don't know how to say it in Ashkenazi. Kol Mishalotam Avas Isha Miyamav Kechamor Ba'avodat Hashem Ki Al Yidi HaMuchash Yavol Yidi HaMufshat. So the idea of that concept of love is a way of abstracting and understanding a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know what the details of that all means, but it gives us a sense that there is something in our emotional expression in this world that it leads to a greater, fuller appreciation of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But now at the same time, as we have these two different aspects, there is also the responsibility that goes with it. That's the third point, the fourth point, responsibility. That having more kochos ha-nefesh, having more abilities, comes with greater responsibility. Famous phrase, with great power comes great responsibility. That now, this is obviously true of any new found power, right? America, Russia, superpowers, as countries, have responsibility. But driving, right? A child gets, now has a greater power. You can drive a car, so that comes with greater responsibility. That your ability to do things is greater, so there's a greater responsibility. Well, all of these sorts of ideas. So with this new ability comes your responsibility. And I think that is an important concept to teach. And this concept is not just in this whole topic, but it's fundamental to what we're teaching our children. This is what the basic concept of mitzvos lo sasei are, and mitzvos sasei for that matter. To be able to be responsible, right? The greater the chiyuv of mitzvos, the greater the kochos, the greater the chiyuv of mitzvos. We cannot just do whatever we want. We have to put a break, and we have to stop. We can't just eat or do. Similarly, socially, the more social influence, the more social power, you have to be more careful. And this is what we try to teach in Torah and mitzvahs. That you don't just give in to every impulse that you have, but rather you live according to something more. And this is actually a basic concept of development in the brain. It's hard to see in what I give out, I very often show. I worked for many years in neuroscience, and it seems like a funny thing to show, but MRI, fMRI images of brains. But this tells the whole story. Development in entire snapshots is you see different parts of the brain develop. The part of the brain that develops first is the visual and the motor, motor gets more over time, but the very last part of the brain to develop, which is Barach 18 to 22, 23, 24, is the frontal lobe right here. And this area of the brain is very, very important. So it's called executive functioning. What it does is it allows you to plan. It allows you to understand consequences of what you do. And it's impulse control. It's the part of your brain that I want to do something, but allows me to put on the brakes. It allows me to put on the brakes. And that, not surprising to any parents of adolescents, is the last to develop. And indeed, this explains all of the craziness that our teenagers put us through, and that we probably did maybe with our parents, is because that is the last part of the brain to develop. And together with that, the reward centers develop a little bit earlier. So seeking sensation, seeking reward, is a very, develops strongly before the brakes. And one can understand the statements, Yerushalmi and other places, that Klapi Shmaya, that there's no Chiyuv Kares, etc., until age 20. Because that's when that part of the brain that is most responsible for responsibility develops. So what we're trying to do in this topic and in general is to help develop the connections, develop the strength of that frontal cortex, the prefrontal cortex. And that's really what's going on in adolescence. That's why they're so crazy. And that's really what we're doing by teaching regulation, teaching to be responsible for ourselves. We're helping them develop it. Now, the next point is the development of the self, or personal experience. In this topic, and in general, it's at this age, throughout adolescence, that I discover that I have feelings. I have my own personal feelings, and I can notice them. And it's related to emotions, and it's related to that transition from moving from a child to an adult. And it's not just sexual, but it's a part of it, that I discover that I have my own feelings and thoughts. And that's why if you take those two pieces, Kedusha, and then that idea of regulation, and then self-experience, just paying attention that I have feelings and thoughts, then you get to the next topic, which is struggle. We cannot talk, and this is a little bit more for the boys, but not really. You can't talk about all of these topics without talking about the fundamental concept of struggle. Responsibility is hard. As Rabbi Shimon ben Bazi says, and I use this in my therapeutic encounters with clients all the time, says, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Bazi, oily mi yitzri, oily mi yotzri. I'm caught between attention about what I want and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And that tension and back and forth weighs upon me, and it's very difficult. And at times it can be very difficult. And this is true for adults, this is true for Rabbanim, and this is true for Gdoli Olam. I didn't make that up. The Gemara in multiple places describes the various struggles. The Gemara at the end of Kiddushin, I have some of these. Again, this is at the end. The Gemara in Sukkah. Abaye became very down when he saw somebody walking down the path with a woman. killed the Abai Shamilai Ugavra to come on Yitz, knocked him Venezel the Orcha. Come, let's go. And he wanted to follow him to be Mafresh him from Isser. Also Basrayu, Tlasa Parsi Bagma, Kavi Parsi Madani when he left. Shamini Dika Amre, he was on Amr by Iman the Sunni Liave. Lahavi Matzil Ukmi Nafshe. And he says, Mitzdar, until Ahusaba Elio comes, he saw somebody not failing, not giving into potential urges with another, with a woman. And he was very surprised, and he was very sad, because he said, I don't know if I could have done that. And he felt damned. Until Elio comes and tells him, Kol Gadol Mechavero, Yitzro Gadol Meno. Having this struggle, having this tension in and of itself, isn't necessarily a sign of your loneliness. Maybe it's the opposite. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yitzro Shel Adam Es Gabra Ol B'chol Yom. And it goes on. So, in other words, this idea of struggle is not something that doesn't exist. Abaye, who we live from, describes it. And it goes further. The Gemara with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Akiva also, that really there is potential to have that struggle. And the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, Amram Chasida, he had to hold himself back because he was so stressed by it. So in other words, the idea of struggle is real. And if the Gemara doesn't shy away from it, we should allow our children not to get off the hook for it, but to recognize that there is a tension and there is struggle that goes into it. And this goes for boys as well as for girls. Because whatever the struggles are, there are struggles coming into teenage years. What the boundaries are, whatever the boundaries, in whatever topic, be it dress, be it friends, be it self-identity, these are real things. And I think it's very important to appreciate. And for some people it can be a source of yayosh. And by transforming it to that, it can be a source of growth, can really help a lot. It implies that there's a certain acceptance of the tension. And it normalizes, not condoning, but normalizes it. And allows for an up and down. And to identify with the idea, and as much as been said on this, Shevi Yipol Tzadik Mikam. And in Odom Omer Al Divrei Torah Al Kenech Shel Bahem, to allow that one's fools are not necessarily a reason for depression, guilt, unhealthy ways, but rather that can be a source of part of the growth process. And there's a lot, and I put in a little bit from the Torah of Reb Tzadok, is very important on some of these topics. And the idea is that there really is a lot, and we have to recognize the fundamental nature of that struggle. Then there is, moving from there, once we've given the children, the ability to, again, understand the basic mitzvahs, understand it for a purpose, see it as part of the frame of Kiddusha, have their own responsibility towards it, as well as their own experience, and understand the struggle, then it takes us to the next point, which to create a box, a cognitive frame for the children. And it's about, this is very important, to them in their language in a way that makes sense for them. Whenever there are things that don't make sense, that shake our world, whether it's a tragedy that strikes close to home, we need to be able to give children the ability to put it someplace. And that's what we call a box. A box that, oh, I spoke to my parents, I spoke to somebody about it, and it gives me the ability to understand just a little bit what we're talking about. And I don't have to work through every single piece of this topic, work through all the different issues, but it's enough to give them enough of a frame that allows them to feel that they have something. And this is the opportunity we have to really frame and give over our values and, oh, to give over our ideas to the kids. This is the place, rather than learning about things on the street, we can learn it and give over our hashkafos and our values. And it's a real learning opportunity. And together with this goes open communication. And this is almost perhaps one of the most important statements we can say to our children. If you have any more questions, feel free to come to me. Feel free to come to me, to Abba, to Ima, and we'll talk about it more. You're basically taking a topic that's somewhere locked away in their head, and they feel maybe it's a secret, and you're able to make it, it's okay to talk about. We can put words to it, and to be able to follow up, that you can always come talk about it. And it makes it a safe and comfortable topic. But with this open communication, now I'll say the opposite, the counterbalance. And that counterbalance is, you want to be open, but not too open. You don't need to answer any question that you think your child might have at any time. You have to answer. Revolba has similar points on this, that we have to be truthful and we have to answer the questions that they need. You don't need to over-disclose and give too much information. Sometimes the question is just the basics of the question. They're not looking for a whole big story, and sometimes we can run the risk of giving too much. So you have to target it appropriately. So those are some of the points that we call the core competencies. How much to discuss Chanoch l'Nar al Pidarko gam ki yaskin lo yosu mimenu. It's really according to the developmental, what's developmentally appropriate. What is appropriate for this child? Enough to give him that box and to answer some of the basic questions he might ask. We want to have openness and also stress the limits. And you also want to be able to give a language that they can use with you and within themselves. And of course, l'chol zman v'it l'chol chayfes. Knowing when to speak about it and when to limit it. Now, in some of our research that we've been doing, consistently, parents report that 80% of parents, for themselves, feel that the age 10 to 13 is the right window. Where that fits according is this is why they pay you the big bucks as parents. This is why you do what you do. It's your job as parents is to pay attention to what your child needs and to think about it accordingly. In the special circumstances, if a child is exposed earlier or there's some sort of abuse, it might be very important to speak to them earlier about the topic and to frame them and have a healthy frame. Just as an interesting point, and this is actually very important, And before that, well, you know, this verse. So, I ask, whenever I do these sorts of talks, and hopefully do it shortly, did you speak to your children? So for the boys, about physical changes, the 49% of parents said they spoke to their boys. 51% said not. So it's about 50-50. For the girls, close to 70% spoke to their girls about physical changes. But when it comes to Kedusha, to sexuality, 34% of parents spoke to boys, and 41% of parents spoke to girls. So it drops almost in half, almost. And it says that there's really a gap, and it becomes very important to do that. Now, it's just interesting, I always get the question of who should speak to them? The mother, the father, both. So I'll tell you what happens, b'shetach. So, for boys, speaking to them about physical change, 39% is the father of the people that spoke to their children, 40% is the child, is the father, almost a quarter are the mother, and 36% are both the mother and the father. So it means, and this is why it's important to have mothers involved in this as well, kimat 60% of the time the mother is involved in a conversation with the boys. Lumat zot, for the girls, 88%, almost 90% of the mothers spoke to the girls. The fathers, there was one. And then both, it was 10%, very little. And when it came to sexuality, it was actually the same. Right. So who should be the one to talk to them? It should be the one that is most comfortable and most able to do an effective job. Ideally, it probably should be the same gender parents. But lav dafka, it really depends on who is able to do it comfortably and who the child feels comfortable doing it with. And that's very important. And that is actually part of the challenges. Ultimately, this conversation can only really happen in the context of a relationship. And the relationship is key. That's actually one of the things that Reb Shmuel said when he spoke as an introduction. He says, relationship with the children is so critical because this is the only way you can have these conversations. And it's the best buffer and protection for children, and it's the best way that they can hear us. And basically, a relationship is the scaffolding. It's the framework that allows us to fill it in with content, that they feel secure, that they feel a sense of meaning in it. And it's very important to pay attention to that relationship. Another thing to pay attention to is our own reaction. Our own reaction, this may be uncomfortable. It may be unpleasant. It's understandable, but we have to think about why that might be. Obviously, it's a sensitive topic. Sometimes it's, I can't believe I'm speaking to my son and my daughter about these topics. They were just born last week. Or at least they feel that way. In some cases, it feels like it's not appropriate or not appropriate with Gidri and Tznius, but we have to think carefully about it. In fact, what we find is that there's a strengthening and a deeper appreciation of the notion of Tznius. And sometimes it's tied into our own personal experiences, history, or issues, and that's very important to pay attention to that. And together with it, we have to pay attention, what are our reactions to this topic? What are the messages, not the words, But what is our body language? And what is our emotional reactivity to it? And both positive and negative. Let me shift over 1 second to talk about the actual script. What are the words I should say? Perhaps many people came to hear that. What do I say? And sorry to ruin it for you, there isn't one script. There isn't one. I would love to say, here it is. Just give this to your child. But that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be Chanoch Lenar Al Pidarko. It wouldn't be you as parents empowered to give over this extremely important value. So you have to be, there's no one script. The language, just as it says, you don't have one language for, you know, nevuah. Sometimes it might feel like it requires nevuah. But everybody expresses it in their own way that resonates with us as parents and them as children. So it's very important to find that same language. And having the language and words are critical because it names it. It names it. And especially with younger children, if it comes up, you want to make sure you're using words that you don't get, as I've had several interesting experiences with clients that are more in the Hasidic belt, but, you know, your child came to school and said X, Y, and Z. You want to be mindful of the words and the names you give your child. But the truth is, it's very useful to give, like I said before, to use, right, like we said, Kishui Aver. We said things like carry. To use these words that exist in the world, in the lexicon of the child, and to use that as a springboard, use that learning as a springboard. Let me give you a small example that might seem funny, but is very powerful. So, I don't know what it's like here, but what are the Chamisha Inuyim? It's Nilata Sandal, it's Nilata Sandal, it's Sicha, it's Achila and Shtia, two separate ones. No, it's not two separate ones. And of course, it's Tashri Shamita. But in schools, sometimes they take away Tashmi Shamita from one of the Chamisha Inuyim. And they just teach, you know, Nilas Asandal, Achila as one, Shtia as a second, they're one. But rather, so there's Tashmi Shamita. It is an opportunity to discuss, even with young children, the idea that there's certain privacy and certain connection that a mother and a father have, even if you're not talking about anything about sexuality. Doesn't Tash Mishamita just means something related to how you sleep, something to do with the bed. So, you know, it's, if appropriate, that a mother and father make sure that they're sleeping a little bit differently. Again, it has to fit, it has to make sense, but it gives a concept, even to young children, right? Because one of the, the whole point is to be an Inui. So it gives you a language with nothing sexual to be able to frame it and to give that sense. And we also know the ideas of privacy are inherent in how children function. Very often, right, children, even at a very young age, will close the door, hopefully, when they go to the bathroom. So you have an idea of something that's private. Privacy is a very important concept. Right. But to use the language that exists. And I would say also, it shouldn't just be a biology lesson. That's an important starting point. But when appropriate, I think that's very important. It could go further. So for example, when you have a child then asks about, well, how are children made? So depending on how the child. So for young children, it might be mother and father, they love each other very much, and after a little bit, they have a baby. Okay, for some young children, that might work. Great. But sometimes, that doesn't. Well, how does that work? Because, you know, so-and-so, see, and this is actually just another point. It was very interesting. In America, I'm sure here also, but in America, there was the Supreme Court and all the issue of homosexual marriage. So it was very much a big topic. And if you turn on the radio, that's what's coming up. You know, when you're driving with your child, you want to hear the traffic reports, and then this is what you're hearing. So one reaction is, quick, turn off the radio. Never listen to the radio during carpool. That's one approach, and there's good reason for it. But I guess it's a little bit different where you can listen to radio. That's, you know, different sort of radio. But here's the thing. But those opportunities become opportunities to talk about our values. To talk about, because again, all of our kids, hopefully, are learning Torah, which has all of these conversations happening within it. So it becomes an opportunity to discuss it. Again, you don't have to go into details, you don't have to, but you do want to give them the ability to understand how to listen to what goes on the outside, rather than just shying away from it. So going back for a second, so how does one talk to their children? Again, you have to give the bare minimum that they're looking for. So for example, it might be you come to the sugya, you talk about, like I said, there's a Gemara, right, the Gemara Makos, I assume all the boys are learning Makos relatively early. So what's the idus that's required? Kimikol v'shvarferes. So what, you have to see the act. So what do you do with that? So it becomes potentially an opportunity to discuss that. Or if you go through anything in Sanhedrin, all the Chiyuv and Misa. So giving them a frame of, and just saying, having intimate relations with an animal. I'm sorry that this, again, Roveya Nirba is part of the conversation that children are going through. And saying, obviously that's disgusting and inappropriate, and therefore a person is Chayav Misa. So you're giving them a frame of appropriate, inappropriate, but you're doing it in such a way that, like, you're allowing them to have some basic concept. So how does one talk? Just again, using the language. That the idea of kiddushin, that a husband, again, if they're a little bit older, and they ask the question, how is a child born? Okay, so you could say, so you discuss the idea of that Nichachma Sabore, and that it's really an amazing thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Shlosha Shutvim Ba'adam, wanted three partners, wanted two partners with him in the work of creating a child. And that happens through a part that the man contributes and a part of the woman contributes. And she carries it, and then ultimately she gives birth to the child. So that might be enough. It might be enough. And then, so what, some children say, wait a second, how does a man contribute to the woman? Okay, so then that's the next question, and you take it from there. You don't have to jump into the conversation and go through all Pirtei Pratim. And then you can say, okay, again, it's all framed in a way, by saying Shlosha Shutvim Ba'adim, you're saying, I'm not afraid to talk to you, just by having a conversation, you're saying, I'm not afraid to talk to you about this topic, A. And you could come talk to me about it. So now it doesn't go underground, it becomes a conversation. And if I'm not afraid of the conversation, it becomes even better. If it becomes a way of becoming closer, that's over my mind. That we can become close by talking about personal, private things in a comfortable way. And then when I say, Shlosha Shutfim Ba'adam, I take you to the next step. Not only am I as a parent not afraid to talk to you about this, and it's okay to talk about, I'm not afraid, this isn't a stira to anything of Kedusha. This is not a contradiction to, even though, you know, the snickering that I'm sure with kids, it's not a contradiction to something of Torah. So you've inculcated values to it, all without saying not so many words. And then if the question comes up further, then you can say further. Okay, so this is part of, again, the Chachma Sabura, the way that a man transfers the Zera to contribute to his wife and gives that over. And that happens, and it might sound, if you want to really explain, you know, because not in all cases do you need to, it's going to sound very funny. It's going to sound very silly. But that same either that you go to the bathroom is also is another function. To be able to take the Zera to his wife. To distance it, not talk about the person himself, talk about at a distance. So, and then explaining that. And that's why somebody becomes tummy. And you can, again, this isn't a shear. It shouldn't be a shear. But for some people, it might be easier to talk about it in points of reference that they are familiar with. So, and that's why it really depends on the comfort level of the parent. And again, talking about that. But then, you stress at that same point, but that is very private. It's very private. The same way, the more private, the holier something is, the more private it is as well. The Kohen Gadol is nichnas lefnai v'lefnim once a year, well, on Yom Kippur for a particular avodah, and that is private. Hundreds of thousands of people are waiting outside, but he is having an individual private experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu lefnai v'lefnim. And that's a particularly important message also in an internet age where the blurring between private and public is terrible. I only post things on my social media that are private, me and 500 of my closest friends. There's a lot, in fact, there's research that the kids don't have a real sense of private versus public. But, and by the way, so the idea, then you're giving the idea, this thing that we're talking about is really private, is really not for public consumption. And it's something that happens with love. It's very important to give over the notion that it is an act and a function of love. Because without that, they can develop wrong thoughts. Because part of what we want people to get is that this is a mutual process. And of course, I mean, you don't have to go into this, nor should you, but there's many halachos that reflect this idea in Geras Kodesh, the Ramban, and many other places. But, in the Gemara, but it's an expression of love, and it's private. And that's a very important notion. Put this together with the idea that, and unfortunately this has really changed for me on giving talks about these topics, we have to go in with the assumption that the majority of our children will be exposed to inappropriate material in the course of their development and their adolescence. filters, and all those things are critical and important and necessary. But inevitably, there are still breaches. And that is a reality that we need to pay attention to. So if you can give them the antidote of negative images that they might come across, and to say things that take away from the holiness and the privateness and the specialness of this act are going in the wrong direction. And they're a siluf of something that's special. And it's made into something that's terrible. And again, giving them the frame of how to understand things that they might have heard of or might come across. So that's just an example of a conversation that you might have with a child that's old enough, that's engaged enough, and interested in it. Right. So that's in terms of a script. There's no one script. Now, just very quickly, other points that we just need to think about. Guilt, you know, if the people are interested, they can answer that in the questions. Maybe I think I would stop here and leave room for some questions. Now again, I can't stress it enough that it's chanuch lenar al pidarko, and it's in the context of the relationship, and it's giving over the concepts that the values that we want our children to have. And again, there are core competencies, skills that we in giving it over have to give over. There's the basic information, kedusha and purpose, responsibility, the experience that I have myself, struggle, and that it's okay to struggle, and not only is it okay, it's part of growth. And then communication and creating a box. And that with this communication and with this approach, it seems very clear that it is not only a way of developing a sense of Kedusha, Kedusha Saguf and Kedusha Sachayim, Kedusha, but it's also a way of developing an entire personality in our children and developing this sense in so much of what we want them to do and how we want them to live our lives. Now, I wasn't super specific in terms of every different thing because, again, it depends. And we can certainly have questions about that. Now, before I take questions, I do want, unfortunately I don't have enough, if anybody is, if people could take surveys, right. And there's a before and after, I'll all be after, and if it's okay, maybe for those that have email, I would maybe pass it on to one person to pass it on to people, if that's okay. Okay. So maybe now let me just take some questions. Yeah, okay. Okay, so I'll just repeat the question. The question is, a child age 10 or so entering into puberty and becomes very emotional around her period. And is it worthwhile to explain what's going on or just let it go and just, we'll deal with it. So I think sometimes, so first of all, it's very important to pay attention. So if she's getting dysregulated and emotional around that period of time, it's important for parents to pay attention to that and the discipline and what you're going to have realistic expectation for. You might need to develop greater tolerance around that moment. But in terms of explaining to her, it is important probably as it's going to be more and more intrusive and affecting her, it is worthwhile to start talking in a language that she can appreciate and understand. There is actually books for girls. To the best of my knowledge, it's not books for boys. I'm in the middle of writing something on that based on some of these points. There's, it seems like it has very good points. The Wonder of Being You by Dr. Mary Grossman. I'm not giving a false comment to it. I'm just, it might be worthwhile to look at. And obviously parents should never just say, here, read this. They should read it. Be responsible for what the content is and have conversations around it. So yeah, okay, yeah.
You briefly referenced the fact that at some age you consume, kids will be exposed
right.
to something.
Right.
Now, it may be different here in this kind of yeshiva community in Israel than in America, but my question is really, if you don't know, if you don't have any reason to suspect, or there's no indication, I have a 14-year-old son, when my understanding is a very simple, innocent young man in yeshiva, where you break the ice and bring up something that may still be completely unknown, or assume it's all out there no matter what, and just go for it.
So, you don't have to introduce foreign things to your child, but what I think is important is when talking about it, if they've walked around, I was going to say Tel Aviv, but Yerushalayim, I don't know about Beit Shemesh so well. My guess is it's a little bit less. If you walk around any place, you encounter things. So even an encounter on air on a bus.
That's very macro. I mean, I'm in the personal developmental level of a boy who certainly has never seen any explicit movies or videos. Or seeing somebody holding hands is not my point. It's
not so much
specific. Do you have to
no, but in other words, seeing people dressed a certain way that's not consistent with Torah values, and inevitably in a provocative. In a provocative way, which is meant to provoke emotions. So that, if coming across that, that becomes a point of a conversation. Now, this person, you know, this ad is not consistent with our values.
Say it's not sneeze, don't look. We don't have to go into a whole physical or sexual conversation.
No, but in other words, the point is, okay, that's fair, but I think the short answer is, I think, for example, there's much conversation about the internet and Isurim and some places do all the different controversy. Do people ever wonder why it's not good? And there must be a reason why it's not good. So what's the reason it's not good? What's the conversation around not having?
I know it's maybe so simple with sneas. Every girl covers her knees, so certainly you can't show more than that. It's not
okay.
Sneas, don't look.
So,
I'm saying,
so if you...
innocent.
Right. So the truth is, if it's genuinely innocent and you have no reason to suspect otherwise, so then you can let it go. But again, as they grow older, they're going to get a sense of something. So I think... And as I think in, you don't have to, a lack of tznius and a lack of tznius acting is enough to prompt that conversation. In other words, to see people hugging and kissing, right? it doesn't have to be sexually explicit to have a conversation. That's not appropriate, because the specialness of physical contact, the specialness of a bonded relationship, is something that's private for a husband and wife. So I don't know if it requires a full pornography to have that conversation. It could also be a conversation about provocative, inappropriate sort of material. And we're trying to develop a different sensitivity.
I mean, sure, every boy you have to start explaining about Kishui Eber and the rest of these things. I mean, to give a context to that.
Right.
Even for a 14-year-old who's very innocent.
Right. I mean, because ultimately, and this is why I said it's a little bit more difficult for boys, because the end result, as Kishui Eber, as an example, is something that is very important and very purposeful at some point down the road. But for some of it will become important to explain. In working with the Hasidic community, it's a little bit more challenging. Although we've made certain inroads to it, real inroads, because the conversations just end with, it's bad. You, in some communities, they don't want to go to the next step of explaining what's the purpose of it, what's the tachlis of it. So that seems to be a violation of Inakash Bocha Bavitrunya Bibriosav. Nope, it's something that naturally occurs, but it just has to stop. It doesn't fit. If you have a greater purpose towards an end, it gives a frame for it. But yeah, it is important to be able to give the frame. Yeah. It is, yes. Right. Mm-hmm. So the question is it important for one gender to understand what goes on by the other, on the other side of the mechitza? Either for just to understand it, or to that there shouldn't be so much gaps afterwards. So I think something that naturally happens, certainly when they're babies, right? And some of the children change the diapers of other children. And when you have children changing diapers, you see that there's biological differences. And inevitably that leads to questions. Makes for humorous comments when very little children ask it, but it becomes an important conversation to be able to explain that there are differences. The pirtei pratim of what goes on as children grow older may be not as important. Although, if it's part of the conversation and it's a question that's coming up, you would want to give answers to it. Female development is more obvious, and I mean obviously beards and the like, but that doesn't necessarily carry the same connotations. But it is important to, whenever discussing it, to be able to understand the changes in their functional and their greater purpose. I think you don't want to over-focus on other, but at the same time, it's important, if that's the line of questioning, to be able to offer that and have conversations about that. And obviously, when it's learning halacha, or learning Gemara, you encounter different topics. And it becomes an opportunity to explain in an appropriate setting, giving an appropriate setting, rather than on the school bus or on the streets, it becomes a much better place. Right.
It sounded like you were talking about, when you talked to a boy, the kedusha aspect and what's going to be between a man and a wife, but is there something to tell the son to do in the interim, let's say between 13 and whenever he gets married, what does he do with those
feelings? Well, let me say two things, and I'll get to that. It's important to explain that, and this is important, like I think I mentioned it, but that the relationship between husband and wife and the expression of this sort of form of love is pleasurable. It's pleasurable emotionally because it's a connection, but it's also it's an expression of ahava. Therefore, it's about giving, not just taking. But it's also physically pleasurable. And therefore, there are limits on it, like we said. So then that makes the question, okay, now what? And that's why I think it's important to talk about the value of, if this is, it gets its full expression in the holiness, in the kedusha, and the healthy environment of marriage in this particular context. So, what happens now? And that's why a person has a responsibility to curb that. And that's part of the values. The same way, there are all sorts of different... Our kids learn about mitzvos losase. And this is part of that concept. Now, the challenge is that the tension might be much greater and much more immediate. And that's why giving a framework of struggle as a value, receiving them from a sense of Yehoshim, what is this? So, Reb Tzadik HaKohen in Tzidkas Tzadik, which is very, very important. He actually says, in multiple places, I couldn't say this, B'chol HaTorah Kulo Niska B'firish Ava Notzazer Al Vatala Like Niska Shanshin. I mean, there's a Beremiza. And he says in multiple places, because Yefshar Tzavrish Hamut Babateva and Inakush Bokha Babatruni and Mirosa. God isn't looking for a fight, looking for conflict. So that sensitivity of there's a struggle here. We don't want to condone because there is halacha, there is the way we live. But on the other hand, there's a struggle. And that leads to a much healthier place. Yeah.
When introducing to a child, I would say this is more specific to the boys, my comment of a Kedusha Sagug, how would you find to be a healthy and positive context to empower the child, especially in those teenage years before they get married, of incorporating an idea of I guess Rabbi Nachman's Torah, going to the mikvah, which has to be done obviously also with a lot of kishur, what age that might be.
So on that point of different tikkunim of Nachman approach, that every family has to figure out its mahalach and its approach to it. And if that's what resonates with a parent, they should give that over to their child. What age? They should be paying close attention to the developmental stages of their child. And, you know of who the child is and the stressors and the reactions that they have. But I'll say it's not just Rav Nachman, but it's other places also. I mean, it's just very interesting, the general mahalach between the Litvish and the Hasidish world. It's a little bit merged together. In the Hasidish world, it's a very, very big source of topic. I had a situation where a kid was saying, "My Rebbein, we're constantly talking about Shmiras Abish, Shmiras Sinai, Shmiras Sinai, Shmiras." I had no idea what they were talking about. And I pass that on to his rabbi and kind of laugh out of that, but it's so pervasive. The whole, I spoke to people from previous Doros, meaning like they had a shaykhis to Mashki, he said they would never talk about it in the Litvish Meisters. The Litvish Yeshivas is like, figure it out, move forward, and don't get stuck. That has been very much the right. But again, so that's a little bit of what we're discussing. Yeah, I think there was another question. Yeah. That's a great point. So the question was, let's say one's daughter isn't necessarily going through developmental changes, but in her chevra, in her class, there are girls going through it. So I think it is very important to discuss it, because inevitably she's going to A, notice, B, be self-conscious, and C, possibly also hear things and conversations. So I think it is important to discuss it, and that, as with all things, it doesn't follow one single trajectory. Everybody has their pace, and everybody has their pace, and to give chizuk if she's feeling nervous. And by the way, the same thing is true on the flip side. Girls that go through precocious puberty, it's very important to discuss it with them. Because A, they can become very self-conscious about themselves, but also, and this is several studies, that people relate to them differently when they are more developed. So therefore, the relationship that other people assume about them is also important. So it's important to discuss it, because it also gets into issues of self-image, self-concept, and so it is worthwhile to speak to. There's another... Right. I think that's okay, but it's really parents should take ownership of this topic. If you know that you're a parent, it's okay. That's not my thing. I, for whatever reason, can't do it. It's very important to have somebody to be mamana shliach to be able to do it. Right. But I think it is, again, biology is one part. The values and the concept that go into it are also very important parts. I want to go back for 1 second to the question about what to do in the meantime. There are things that Yofetal Matorim Derecharat Shigash Neim Shkach Hasavon. If a person is doing the things that they need to do, they're healthily developing. They're busy. They may be involved in physical activity also. And things like that, there's less room for, you know, it's part of the trajectory of normal development. And it's, the more they're busy, the more they're involved, the more their general development is going well, socially, physically, and the like, the less of an issue is. But it's not necessarily the parents' place to get actively involved. And it's at certain points, certainly slightly older, that they might find a Rebbe, a Mashpiach, or the like, that they might want to speak to about it. And then it's much more comfortable for the parents. Right, that's, yeah. But again, it's very important for the parents to have a role in the general point of this conversation. And we're finding this also, we did a study, we're doing studies of the digital life of kids in yeshiva. The parents are the key player, and unfortunately, they're not always as engaged. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my question. In this case, it's about a girl, but I suppose it could be about a boy, too, mm-hmm. if it matters. What I got from the lecture, it seems that explicitly it was said that in terms of speaking to a child, how much to say about Kedusha Seguf depends on maturity. Mm-hmm. But here, for the there's also an implicit part to the question, too. Mm-hmm. For the explicit part, there's physical maturity, and then there's the mental emotional
yes.
maturity. So what if you have the mm-hmm. physical, but really the child isn't so mentally emotionally mature?
This is I'm glad you brought it up. That is a very important issue. The disparity, the difference between physical maturity and emotional maturity. Sometimes you can have situations where they're really very different. And that requires, that's a very important issue. As an example to this, kids with developmental disabilities or intellectual delays, this is where you see this. I've consulted a lot with group homes where you have kids getting older that have physical urges but don't necessarily have the capacity to manage that. There is a book, The Jewish Self. It's actually he moved to Israel. Gil Almale, psychologist, put out exactly for that population to just explain physical changes for a population that have cognitive limitations. And I don't remember the book offhand, but it really addresses that explicitly. It's called The Jewish Self, and self stands for something. And it's Dr. Gil Almale. And even there, sometimes using the concepts that they have, privacy, other people's privacy, because sometimes you have people that are acting on urges, and you have strong urges, but you don't have those breaks. So you have to really make it very clear the boundaries and limits. But that is important to talk to them as well within what they're, whatever is appropriate for them. Yeah.
The teenage boys talked about physical activity, and in Israel, I don't know what it's like in America. In yeshivas, physical activity, ball play,
yes.
Any kind of anything like that is frowned upon.
Yes.
And I don't get it.
Right. It's not my place to comment about that. If there are different routes to take, there are. Physical activity, just staying fit. I remember it came out, this is probably 30 years ago, a workout video for men called Stender Size, which using your Stender this way and crunches and different things. I don't know if it was so popular. But there are ways. Again, it's not my place to... There's a mahalach of communities, but even within there, there are ways. There are places. Personal activity. Doing sit-ups, doing push-ups. I don't imagine that that's frowned upon, you know, necessarily. Obviously, it shouldn't be the focus of one's day, shouldn't be the focus of one's, but chilutz atzamos is, right? I think that's not, I hear the problem, but I think there are ways to...
I don't know if the question to tell other context.
Okay. Speak to Rabbi Milanowitz. Okay. Looking for a tennis partner. I apologize. After a heavy topic, which is, sorry. Yes.
I think my question has two parts. Part one is, what do we do about family members who don't share our values and are open about it or expose themselves? more than we would like them to be exposing themselves.
In other words, if I say the question is family members, and I'm going to assume immediate family members. Let's say
not
a son.
Siblings, but cousins, aunts, uncles.
So at the bar mitzvah, they'll go over and say things. And it's, I can understand the question.
Not just family siblings. They share a life with these relatives then.
So let me address it actually in two different ways. And both of them, I don't know, have to do with this topic per se, but have to do with how do we manage all of these issues. So one, when we have extended relatives that don't share our values, don't share our perspective on this necessarily, so I think it becomes even more important not to be in an anti, in a resist and fight and way, but rather to communicate, these are our values, this is what's very important, and so-and-so and so-and-so might not appreciate that, might not have that, but this is what the way we see the world. And that's true for a lot of different areas, not just this topic. The other piece is when it's within the same family. Let's say within the nuclear family, there are inevitably situations that one of the siblings doesn't exactly follow the style of the mahalach of the family. So this becomes a very important conversation with the rest of the family. Not chas v'shalom to put them down and to make them a sub, because that ruins relationship. But to be able to communicate that obviously this person is going in a different direction. There may be very good things about them, there's very fine things about them, but at the same time, they clearly aren't going with our mahalach and our values. And that's sad, but to value what you value, but have a conversation about how do you relate to a relative, distant or close, that's going in a different direction. Okay, unless there are any more questions, okay, so we'll stop here. Again, I really hope that you could see how this is an approach, not just to this topic, but to topics in general, that leads to a deepening of the relationship, deepening of our children having our values, and can make the topic a little bit less scary and daunting. If you don't mind, if you could fill out the surveys, please make them anonymous. It's really all anonymous. And also, given the tape, okay, very good. And thank you so much.